It's the Mo Ivey Show here on Sirius XM Radio, Channel 141, HUR Voices. And we are dedicating this show to love and relationships. And I didn't think we could really talk about that without getting an attorney on the line. Like I told you before, I am an attorney myself, but I don't practice family law, and certainly know that that is a specialty in which, if you have any questions, whether before your marriage or after your marriage, you should definitely get an attorney that specializes in that. And on the phone with me is Carolyn Goodman. She's an attorney at law here in D.C., and she specializes in family law, separation, and divorce. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
I'm good. I really was interested in talking to you because, first, you know, we've been hearing about so much in the news about Lamar Odom and Khloe Kardashian and how they had, you know, their divorce papers set and ready to go and even filed, but their divorce was still not final. And so she steps in to make all of the medical decisions. Tell me how that's possible.
Well, when you are married, you are the next of kin. And basically, if the divorce wasn't final, she was the next in line to make decisions. Now, the only thing that would have stopped that or changed that is if he had what's called the durable power of attorney for health care or a living will, which basically named someone else to make these decisions other than Khloe. But either he didn't have that or he had something in place that named her and he never changed it. I'm just, you know, I'm speculating here, but that other than that, your spouse will remain your next of kin, able to make those decisions.
So that's why it's so important if, say, for example, you are separated and you are living with a new person, you have a whole new relationship, but you are not legally divorced. It is really important for you to either do the two things you just said, which were to have a living will or durable power of attorney, or else the person that you're separated from is going to make all the decisions for you.
Absolutely. I recommend that to clients every time. Do not continue to have your spouse in your will. A regular power of attorney that some people have to allow a spouse to sign checks if they become incapacitated or pay bills. So I always recommend change all of those legal documents when you separate. You know, have it be a child, another relative, a trusted friend, somebody else to make those decisions.
So talk about the things that couples, before they're getting married, you know, if two people are coming together, and let's say they're established and they already have their own things, what do you recommend people do prior to getting married in order to make sure, especially if they have an ex-wife or two or children from another relationship, what are the kind of things, you know, we think of the prenup normally, but we always think that that's for, you know, very wealthy couples. But what should a sort of everyday person that goes to work that is going to get married do before they get married?
Actually, people think that prenuptials, you know, many clients call me and say, gee, I don't know why I need one. I don't have a lot of assets. But I do prenuptials for people who are wealthy and people who aren't so wealthy, because nowadays a lot of couples are getting married a little bit later, and they either have children or they may be young people who have no children, but they've bought a condo or a house and they're coming together or living in it together, but only one of them owns it. So a prenuptial is a very good agreement to have in place that protects assets if that's what you want to do, protects your jewelry, things like that, and it can also protect assets in the event of death or separation. And as a follow-up to that, the reason a lot of people like to do it is they also want to establish how they're going to deal with their finances during their marriage. Are we going to have joint accounts? Are we going to keep things mainly separate? But one of the big issues that comes into play is retirement accounts.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you have a retirement account in D.C., and in most places, it's a federal law that what you bring to your marriage is separate, but what you accumulate during your marriage becomes marital property. So many people call me and say, well, I'd like to keep my retirement so that in my old age I don't have to share it with an ex-spouse if it comes to that. So you can deal with all those kinds of issues, and I recommend it for people who are not so wealthy and people who are wealthy.
So if you get married in D.C. and then you have a retirement account, whatever is accumulated, say you stay married 5 years, what is accumulated in that 5 years in your retirement account would be subject to a marital disposition or whatever.
Correct. Exactly. That's exactly so. And, you know, the only thing I will say is that I recommend many times that even if you're thinking that you shouldn't, you know, allow your spouse to have a piece of that, I always ask the question, if you plan to have children and one of the partners will be a stay-at-home parent, the other person keeps working and accumulating retirement money. So in some ways it becomes very unfair if the stay-at-home parent doesn't get sort of part of that.
A portion of that,
money,
right,
that's accumulating. So I always ask people to really think about what your goal is. I mean, if you're not going to have children, then many times, as long as your salaries are fairly equal, people like to keep their retirement, you know, separate and know that they have that security as they age.
Now, a lot of people would say when they're getting divorced, well, we agreed we want to get divorced. There's no, you know, contention in the divorce. And he's going to take what he had and I'm going to take what I had. We don't really need a lawyer to do our divorce. We're just going to sign the paperwork and file it. Is that advisable?
Well, it's not advisable if there's anything at issue, even if it's retirement, because you always need a waiver from a spouse. You need some kind of waiving of rights. And I recommend, usually, unless people have, they tell me we don't even have any savings, no bank accounts, no nothing. We just live paycheck to paycheck. It's very good to have agreements, a simple separation agreement that just says, you know, I waive all my rights to your bank accounts. You're responsible for all your debts. You can keep all your retirement, keep all your personal property. So it's basically a simple waiver kind of an agreement. But I think it's important. I do get a lot of calls where people say, oh, it's nothing. We're just going to have an uncontested divorce. And I always say the divorce is the easy part. It's resolving any little outstanding issues. That's the hardest part.
Absolutely.
And you want to be sure you're secure and that you've done that.
Well, in the way that technology has sort of changed court proceedings and the way people, they're using social media as a form of testimony and they're bringing things in, have you yet dealt with the situation where a spouse was, you know, speaking ill of the other on Facebook or on Twitter, or, you know, infidelity was found out over social media? And how does that play out in actual proceedings?
Well, I'll say this. I used to litigate cases. I don't anymore. Mm-hmm. I do all agreements because I'm a strong believer in trying to mediate agreements and have people negotiate settlements. But I did have a case once where there was some social media ill-advised words put out on social media. And what ended up, you know, we didn't go into court with that case, but we ended up putting something into the agreement very specifically about what people could say and couldn't say, and that things had to be removed from social media, and that they each agreed they would never post anything publicly or speak publicly about the relationship or the separation. So, you know, I know there are cases like that, but I don't litigate those, so I can't speak to that.
Right. And there's this new kind of, I don't know if it really doesn't have any meaning at all, but, you know, we've seen this new celebrity trend with this term called conscious uncoupling.
Uncoupling.
Which is like the most ridiculous. Is there any basis in the law for that, or is that just breaking up?
No, I mean, there's no basis in this area. I think that maybe what the message there is that people should keep things civil and try to resolve things through a very simple kind of negotiation rather than blowing it up into a very large case that gets a lot of media attention. I mean, I think that's really the direction that, you know, people are going in.
Yeah, and well, I think that's a good direction.
What did you say?
I think that's a good direction.
I agree. Actually, that's why I stopped taking cases to court. I mean, I will refer maybe 5% of my caseload in a year, I have to refer to a litigator, because you want to work very hard to negotiate a settlement. It's less expensive and it gives everybody more control and it keeps it very civil, particularly if people have children and they have to go to weddings and graduations the rest of their lives. Do they really want to be sitting on opposite sides of a room, you know, looking at each other like this, you know, I hate you? You want to try to keep it civil. And I think that's what conscious uncoupling. I think that's the underlying message, even if it sounds, you know, like a silly name.
Right. Do people need to really be concerned about sort of the backlog that courts have for finalizing divorces? you know, like we saw in Chloe and Lamar's case where they had filed it, but, you know, they had not, the judge had not signed off on it because there was such a backlog. Does that backlog, is that a real reality for filing divorce papers?
Not in D.C. I was a little bit surprised. I don't know if California is different that way, but in D.C., if you have an uncontested divorce, theoretically you're coming in with an agreement settling things. You file your uncontested divorce, you have a hearing in a month, and it can be final that day. But okay. See, in D.C., you have to actually appear for a little pro forma kind of hearing. It's very quick. But if you have a contested divorce where you haven't settled things, then you go to a trial potentially, or you have to go to many hearings. But the judges generally sign off on them with some speed in the district. I don't know how long. It sounded like Chloe and Lamar's case was sitting for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a surprise to me. I'm not sure why that would be, unless in California there's a bigger backlog, or unless there were some things that took a really long time to settle out. But that did surprise me.
Yeah, this is the Mo Ivory Show, and you are listening to SiriusXM Channel 141 HUR Voices, and I'm talking to attorney Carolyn Goodman, and we're talking about, you know, the paperwork that you need to have in a divorce proceeding. We were talking about Chloe and Lamar and the backlog on why their divorce was never final. What do you do, attorney Goodman, in a situation where one of the spouses, and a lot of times we find this to be the husband, just does not want to come to an agreement and goes with the concept of it's cheaper to keep her?
Well, you know, in those cases where she doesn't want to be kept, I recommend first mediation. Try to go in a room with independent person who's not representing either one of them. If somebody refuses to do that, then really somebody's only option is to file a court case, unfortunately, which gets very expensive. And I will speak to D.C., D.C. requires, if you do that, the judge will require you to go to mediation in the courthouse. Now, you can't control who your mediator is, but they require an attempt to settle, whether you file your case or not. So, you know, if you have somebody who just refuses, there's not a lot you can do. You have to go into court, and then the judge will decide if you can't resolve it.
That's very interesting.
You know, I always believe it's better for people to try to, even though they firmly do not want to resolve anything, to realize that they're going to be spending their child's college tuition on legal fees and accounting fees and other things if they don't come to some settlement.
Yeah, and essentially going to spend the money being forced to get divorced rather than to just figure it out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, can you give us your information so anybody out there that needs some guidance from you can find you?
Absolutely. Carolyn Goodman. I'm located at 2000 P Street Northwest in DuPont Circle. My telephone number is 202-775-8423. And I have a website called GoodLawDC, GoodLawDC.com. It has quite a bit of information on it. You can look up frequently asked questions. And I write a little blog. When people ask me questions, I try to answer them online.
All right. Well, Attorney Goodman, thank you so much. I want to give you send you a little bit of love, part of the AUC family. I went to Spelman, and I know you're a Clark graduate. So
I
just wanted to give you that shout out right there. So,
well, I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely.